news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
If it's Wednesday, our national impeachment nightmare is about to end. The Senate is slated to vote on whether to convict and remove or acquit Donald Trump. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is expected to speak at around 3:30 Eastern Time in advance of the vote. Donald Trump delivered his third State of the Union address Tuesday night, and it was everything you'd expect from the guy. Lies, brags, cheap theatrics, and more lies. As for the cheap theatrics, Trump pulled out all the reality television tricks, from awarding hate talk venom spewer Rush Limbaugh the Presidential Medal of Freedom and having Melania place the medal around his neck in real time, to giving a black child a voucher for a scholarship while dissing public schools as, quote, government schools, and surprising the wife and children of a no longer deployed husband and father with a live reunion. We knew that Donald Trump would stoop to his signature pettiness when he refused to shake Speaker Nancy Pelosi's outstretched hand, and things went downhill from there. Although there was no single "you lie" moment, the speech was filled with them. Trump sought to take credit for the booming economy and continually dissed his predecessor, Barack Obama.
If we hadn't reversed the failed economic policies of the previous administration, the world would not now be witnessing this great economic success.
Trump claimed he rehabbed inner cities. He said it was he who reworked trade deals. And he said he restored American dominance on the global stage. When Trump lied about being willing to sign a bill to lower the cost of prescription drugs, Democrats stood up and chanted H.R. 3. That's the prescription cost lowering bill that already passed the House and is sitting dying on Mitch McConnell's desk.
I'm calling for bipartisan legislation that achieves the goal of dramatically lowering prescription drug prices. Get a bill on my desk and I will sign it into law immediately. With unyielding commitment, we are curbing the opioid epidemic.
Trump lied about protecting coverage for pre-existing conditions.
I've also made an ironclad pledge to American families. We will always protect patients with pre-existing conditions.
CNN's Daniel Dale worked overtime fact-checking the nonsense.
That's false. I don't even usually fact-check promises like this, but this one is so egregiously dishonest that I make an exception. Trump has repeatedly supported Republican bills that would significantly weaken protections for pre-existing conditions. And at present, he is supporting a Republican lawsuit that seeks to get the entirety of Obamacare tossed out by the courts. And he's presented no replacement to protect those people with pre-existing conditions if that suit succeeds. In addition, before he endorsed that entire lawsuit, he specifically asked the courts to declare the protections for people with pre-existing conditions unconstitutional. So, yes, this is a promise of future action, but there's no basis for it whatsoever.
He brag-lied about his asinine border wall.
A long, tall, and very powerful wall is being built. We have now completed over 100 miles.
Daniel Dale.
So, yes, there are more than 100 miles of something, but it's important to note what those 100 plus miles are. Of 115 miles reported by the government as of the end of January, 104 of them were replacing barriers that existed before. 10 of them reinforce existing barriers. Just approximately 1 mile, that's what they say, approximately 1 mile was built where no barrier existed in the first place. So that's the important context.
Trump lied about record job creation.
Since my election, we have created 7 million new jobs. 5 million more than government experts projected during the previous administration.
Here's Daniel Dale again with those pesky facts.
I'm still trying to figure out who these government experts are. I don't want to declare it false at this point because they may exist and I just haven't found them yet. The number of 7 million is just about right. It's just above 7 million if you go back to Trump's election, as he likes to. If you start at his inauguration, it's just shy of 7 million. But we don't have numbers for January 2020 yet, so that number might bring the number under him himself right up to that 7 million mark.
And Trump continued to take credit for Barack Obama's accomplishments, like this one.
Thanks to our bold regulatory reduction campaign, the United States has become the number one producer of oil and natural gas anywhere in the world, by far.
And again, Daniel Dale debunks.
Yes, the U.S. is number one, but no, that is not because of anything Trump has done. The U.S. took the number one spot under Obama in 2012, even though Trump repeatedly accuses Obama of perpetrating what he calls a war on American energy. The U.S. has been number one in natural gas production since 2009, number one in petroleum hydrocarbon production since 2013. It is crude oil production in particular in which it took the number one spot under Trump, but no, this overall number one spot is not because of him.
Gun control activist Fred Gutenberg, whose 14-year-old daughter Jamie was killed in the Parkland, Florida school massacre, was removed from the chamber for shouting as Trump spoke in favor of guns during the State of the Union address. By the way, the 2-year anniversary of the Parkland shooting is a week from Friday. Many observers noted that the State of the Union address was basically a repackaged version of one of Trump's re-election Nuremberg rally speeches. At the end of the speech, Nancy Pelosi embraced the theatrics herself and deliberately and methodically ripped in half Trump's speech, page by page. Talking to reporters afterward, the speaker declared, quote, "It was the courteous thing to do considering the alternative." Later, as she left the Capitol, she added, "It was a manifesto of mistruths." Meanwhile, Iowa. Yes, Iowa. 2 days after the caucuses dispersed, only 71.44% of the precincts have reported. A few takeaways, though. Bernie Sanders leads the popular vote, but Pete Buttigieg is leading in delegates. Welcome to the Democratic Party. For all the hype, it's worth noting that Joe Biden appears to have finished in fourth place. The candidates have moved on to New Hampshire, where they'll debate Friday night in advance of Tuesday's primary. And finally, the White House followed through with its petty plan to exclude CNN from its annual pre-State of the Union lunch with TV network anchors. Although reasonable minds understand that the other networks should have boycotted the event in solidarity with CNN, that didn't happen. Anchors from ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, Fox, so-called news, OANN, C-SPAN, CBN, Univision, Telemundo, Sinclair, and Gray TV were all in attendance. The New York Times ran a story with some leaked details and reported that Chuck Todd, quote, told Mr. Trump at the lunch that he was asking a question on behalf of CNN anchor Jake Tapper. The president responded by saying that journalists from, quote, MSDNC, his recently adopted nickname for MSNBC, were also absent, even though Chuck Todd hosts a daily show for MSNBC. Disgusting. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. I hope you'll check out NicoleSandler.com. While you're there, please click on that donate button.